Здравствуйте, дорогие друзья, мы начинаем.
Hello, dear friends. It's another Sunday webinar. We gathered the most popular questions for the most popular topics from the 30 past webinars that we had. Is there life after death? Is one topic. The governance of the upper force on the fate of a person. The purpose of life. And the spiritual root of life, of money. These topics and more are very interesting. That's what we'll have. We're broadcasting and recording because we have the Matan, the Shavuot holiday in Israel. Here we have our friends together with us in the studio. Kostya from St. Petersburg and Boris Belzarkovsky, and that's about it.
We'll try.
The most popular topic is there life after death, and life on the topic of the soul.
Specifically men.
Specifically for men. It's medium for women, but it's a huge hit with men. These are the top question. This is like a top men's question. He asks, where does the soul of a person go after death?
I have to answer on the simplest level. I'll try to do it. And if there will be something unclear, we'll go over it on our next shows. So, the soul, after death, it doesn't go anywhere because it doesn't exist in a person. Where are you taking this from, that where are you taking this fact from, that a person has a soul?
You say that the soul hurts.
Well, it's a bad mood, a bad something. Animals have these states too. If you mean the physiological, psychological states of a person, then yes, they are in accordance with our body, and when our body disappears, they do too. But actually, it's all transition from one form of matter to another, and according to the rule of entropy, then there's nothing to be worried about. It simply shifts from one form to another. And the same with the person. When he envisions himself as existing in this world, he has a certain inner transformation going on where he starts feeling himself as existing in a different state, in another world. And this is called maybe shifting from one world to another. And but simply a person that exists in our world and disappears, his soul disappears someplace while the body dies, then it's not the soul. It's a kind of vital, enlivening force of our body, which keeps on existing in the form of reshimo, and then on it clothes in another body, which is in correspondence with the soul. The soul is a spiritual parameter which defines the qualities of the body, because the body, it has to be in complete equivalence with the soul, and it has to be in complete equivalence with the development the soul
has. So you're saying there's a spiritual gene.
Every person has a spiritual gene, and not only every person, every creature still, vegetative, animate, and people for sure, they have a spiritual gene, but it's only a spiritual gene, the so-called reshimo. And afterwards, from this informative, from this information, there might develop or not develop a spiritual state.
Into a soul.
Depends on a person, how does he realize himself.
So you're saying a body is like it clothes onto the spiritual gene and disappears. Clothes and disappears.
Yeah, yeah. Our body isn't taken into consideration as something existent or independent. There's nothing.
You're saying there's nothing valuable in the body
there
at all?
There is nothing valuable about the body but the development of the soul.
Okay, wow. All right, so Barry from England continues. How do we not confuse what separates the image of a person, the attainment of a person from their imagination?
The development of the soul, this is something that can be, it's something that happens only in a very narrow framework. It's if a person is included in a group and together with his friends, they start between themselves developing the quality of bestowal up to the point of love, quality of love. When a person is engaged in that, that means that he develops a soul. The soul can't be in one person. It could be only in a collection of people. And the most optimum thing is where there is a 10 people that gather together and they start between themselves correctly using their ego, specifically atop it, building the quality of connection above themselves, above the ego. Meaning against the ego, but using it in the opposite direction. Then happens a very special phenomenon between them to the extent of their efforts to correctly use the ego, not to simply suppress it, but to correctly use it in order to create the quality of love above it, connection. They start discovering that what they're lacking is the forces with the help of which they can rise above their ego and correctly use it. This force they start receiving from, I'd say, from the depth of creation, from the connection between them, they suddenly discover that they're interconnected. And the center of their interconnectedness, like the center of the circle, like in a center of a circle, it starts unraveling like a whirlpool. The whirlpool starts unfolding, but only it's not sucking in, but it from it starts appearing the higher light, the force of bestowal, love, good, mutuality, and so on. And this force encompasses everyone and unites everyone. And when this force creates the right kind of connection between them and fulfills their connection, then their mutual state, which they will achieve, will be called soul.
Людмила from Miami, you mentioned the Рашимо. How is the Рашимо connected to the living soul?
The Рашимо, it's the informative data in a person, and that's the only precious thing that exists in us that we have to develop. And corresponding to the Рашимо, we have to determine to the extent to which a person is close to the right realization of the purpose of creation. And people feel it. They feel it to the extent to which it is important for them to achieve the understanding of how important it is or not. And this is exactly the question that our students have, but I think that women, also men and also women, have this question.
Another question. What will be with the majority that aren't developing in spirituality and attaining the Creator?
It will come gradually. Everyone will come to it. Only there are different levels of development. Like in the materialistic world, there are nations which are more developed technologically. There are those that are more developed physiologically, each to their own extent and their own direction. But actually, everyone has to come to that. And those nations that advance or develop more quickly, on the one hand, their ego is more explicit, but on the other hand, it's little. And those nations that will come later on, suppose like Africa or Oceania, they will have a greater ego and they will achieve a greater level.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Therefore, the Jews which are first, they will actually achieve a small level. They're the ones simply that have to pass the upper light through them, therefore they're closer to it. But actually, the higher light will be drawn by those nations which will come last.
So they need to break a hole through the wall
So to reveal the true upper light and to complete the soul, this is something that will be done by those nations which today somewhere out there exist very far from these questions.
On that topic, we have a question. The population of a person is growing all the time. Why? For what? It's making it so much harder to correct everybody. It seems so much easier to correct one egoist than 1 billion.
No, not so. Because if there are many egoists and they're interconnected, then they can more quickly, more easily choose the right system of interconnections between them in order to reveal the soul. And if there are many, then the shattering of the one ego into many small parts, it allows them to more quickly realize themselves. So, therefore, the quality of the ego and the connection between them determines the path. Therefore, the more the ego grows in a person, of course, it grows egoistically nonetheless, becomes greater, higher, but actually it also grows in quantity, which really helps us to not care that much about the quality.
About the soul, do you see the degree of the student's development?
I see it, but I won't talk about it.
Джози из Израиля.
Это все равно не тот.
Тут про факт спрашивают.
Не та тема.
It's not the topic.
We're asking about just a fact, whether a Kabbalist sees it or not.
A Kabbalist sees the state of a student, but it means nothing. He also sees into the future, where could that person advance to, but nonetheless, the freedom of choice remains in the hands of the student.
Another question, can we feel our loved ones after their death? Meaning somebody passes away?
I don't know how exactly to express it in words. If you'll become a Kabbalist, then yes.
So you're saying with Rabash you have this sensation?
This is a personal question.
My soul, this part of the Creator, is this the birth of my anti-egoistic forces? A person applied anti-egoistic effort, and now his little part of the soul is what?
It's him. We see ourselves at the moment in body, but actually, it's we're momentarily lost. We accept and see ourselves as the body. It doesn't exist. The body, it doesn't exist. It works as the sum total of all of our desires that are depicted for us at the moment as the body.
Why, being in an ocean of light, does our physical body need to suffer in this life? Isn't everything for us to aspire toward the upper world?
Oh, of course. Katinka, dear Katya, I think that if you have kids, then you can see, just like we pressure our children and we don't allow them to simply enjoy their games, but we force them to study and have a framework and so on. Why? What for? The very same way we have to pressure our body in order so that through its resistance we'll achieve our soul.
I'd like to know why there are catastrophes in the world that take the lives of people.
I'd say that even though that these are catastrophes, these are actually corrections. A person corrects a certain sort form of his egoism and to the extent to which this ego was given to him and he has corrected it, then he has no longer any earthly mission with this in this respect.
In the body.
In the body and so on. And therefore he dies. Doesn't matter in what way, or is it does it happen randomly or by chance?
If a person dies, or even a child, is there no chance for that body to continue work?
The body doesn't, but the soul does. It keeps on going.
But why can't it continue?
What do you mean, if it dies physiologically?
So why would the Creator do that for the body to die like that?
Well, it was necessary to perform certain tasks. That's it.
But what about freedom of will?
If a person has the freedom of will, that's something else then. Then if he realizes freedom of choice, then there's a completely different calculation there. He has a reason to exist. He is included in others. He starts loving others, teaching others. He's included in others. He lives by their desires and not by the desires of his body. In this case, if he operates correctly, he can live for centuries. You see what's the matter here? It's very simple. If you live for yourself, then you simply poison yourself all the time with your egoistic poison. How long can you live?
Once you said that there's no calculation with the upper governance with the bodies in this world.
Dear Yula, we're not taking the bodies into account, and it says so that the Creator hates the bodies. We mean the ego, and not the corporeal bodies, meaning our flesh and blood. And therefore, please, you have to correctly formulate your questions. Otherwise, we'll be confused.
Now we have the topic of, is there life after death? That was our first topic.
So, life after death, or life before death. Till death, we say we have no life. After death, also. It all depends on how we realize this life, here and now. This is with what has to do with the earthly understanding of what life is, with which has to do with the spiritual concept of life. Life is eternal, whole and perfect, depending only on the extent to which we realize it and reveal it. So actually, death does not exist.
All right, this question. Can you give a question that they'll answer now? And then we'll read off their answers. So give us a question, and we'll propose the question to the audience. What is the topic? The topic is there life after death? Body and soul.
With respect to what do we consider life as life and death as death?
Wonderful. So, friends, we'd like to have you answer. We'd like to write your answers to that question in the chat, and we'll talk about how very specifically you just talked about. And right now in the chat, we'll type out that question as well. Now, next topic is the influence of the upper forces on a person's fate and abilities. So this is the most popular topic for women, is how to control their fate. How can you govern your own fate?
How to control our fate. This is the subject of the wisdom of Kabbalah, really. And that's all you need. You see, what interests people are very limited questions. Is there life on Mars or not? And here it's a question about, can you change your fate? It's a much more interesting question, a much more exalted question. There, it's a, you know, simple egoistic question. Is there a life or isn't there after that? And here the question is, it's a beautiful question. How can I control my fate?
And for what?
It's actually a female question because they're not content with their life.
And this question is, we see that women with more experience ask it as well.
Yeah, my teacher Rabash said that men
in our world, a man has 1,000 different ways to enjoy this world. Even if he looks at a beautiful woman, he enjoys. He looks at a photo and enjoys life. And a woman, she does not enjoy looking at a man. What beautiful legs he has, what a beautiful face he has. She doesn't enjoy that. Meaning she actually needs a stronger argument to justify the existence. She can't simply fulfill herself with something. Therefore, women in our world, they represent a deeper egoism than men. And it's a partition into the male and female psychology and male and female direction, realization of oneself. It's very interesting the way it's realized only in the connection between the two and the right connection between the men, women, can we achieve unity, but not when they adhere, but when they remain opposite, separate, and more opposite, opposed, and above that, they achieve the higher goal.
So why does a person need to get involved in the governance from above?
This is what the Creator demands of us. The Creator, he has just one desire, to give a person everything he needs in order to achieve the quality of creation.
Men are questioning this. He's asking, why is a person, could this person responsible be for coming closer to the Creator? If he has no freedom of will, he doesn't have it. So what? There's
no
freedom here either.
No. The freedom of choice is only that you yourself wish to follow this path, just like the development of the rest of nature. Otherwise, you see that you're in a state where you're completely subordinate to the Creator, and when you go and you realize yourself, the plan of creation before it's realized on you, then specifically there you get freedom of choice.
Okay, but how do you control your fate, really?
Very simple. For this, you have to draw the upper light, the so-called Ormakiv, surrounding light, which reforms, which makes you similar to the Creator. And if we know how to use this methodology of how to draw it, then we realize ourselves. We become bosses over our destiny. But how do we realize it? By the drawing of the upper light. And then the light itself does what's necessary, not us. Because we can't drag ourselves by the hair from the swamp we're in, from our ego. That's the first thing. And the second thing is that we don't know what's the future right state. Only the upper light does that on us, and therefore we can only draw the upper light. But how can we draw the upper light if this is a light that corrects us? It's from the higher degree. And this is what we have a group for. If we participate in the group and united between us, then by this we mechanically, as if show on the level of our world, our next state of unity and the higher light realizes it.
So isn't it just the biggest foolishness and to think that I control my own fate?
These are natural questions that are asked by newcomers all the time until they see the answer themselves. Actually, in the wisdom of Kabbalah, there are no answers because they don't exist. The truth is that an answer is when you find it yourself after exerting and gradually attaining it. But, you know, as it says, still have to somehow humor a person, you have to attract them somehow. And therefore, we answer these questions. By no means is there any contradiction between the fact that everything is preset, already given, on the one hand, and on the other hand, there is the freedom of choice and the opportunity to realize one's destiny on the other hand. These are things that exist on two different levels of our existence, the higher and lower levels of creation. And once I was looking from the 18th story down, and my friend, he was parking his car and he had to come up. At that very time, behind the corner came a policeman, And he gave fines, he gave everyone fines. For my friend, it was unknown that in a moment he'll get a blow, or that his car will be towed someplace, and he'll have different problems. And for me, it was clear and obvious. Back then, we didn't have, there weren't mobiles yet, so I could call him up and tell him. But this is the question, who sees and who doesn't?
Don't you need a medium between a person and the creator?
The mediator between the creator and the creature is the group in which a person reveals the creator, the force which corrects him. The teacher, he is not the mediator. He is more kind of the guide than structure. And I'll tell you why. Because it's forbidden for a student to be locked only on his teacher. Otherwise, he will lose his personal stimuli for development. He'll just be cleaved on to him. That's the first thing. Another thing is that the fact that the student constantly gets through the teacher, that's for sure. And it's according to hierarchy from top down, from Adam to our days. You can't escape it. If you'll advance in Kabbalah, you'll advance through me, because and those that will follow you and will be your children, they'll have to receive through you. This is something that we study in the 15th part of the study of the 10 Sefirot. That the higher always ascends and always gets at the expense of the lower a double portion and gives it on to the lower. And therefore, this is a necessary hierarchy. But the main thing is, the main thing that you have to understand is that the realization is not in the connection with your teacher. You simply have to trust them without doubt and just do what he says. But realizing yourself, that's in the group.
Gennady is asking, so what do I need to connect with the negative?
If you won't have any negative environment, then why run away? The entire world is created in order to push us in the corner.
So how do we influence bad thoughts in our lives to have good events happen?
We have to envision the bad thoughts as good ones that are leading us to the goal.
But these bad thoughts are sent to us by our environment.
The Creator gives it to you through the environment. It's not the environment that gives it, but the Creator through them. There's no one object in the world which would emanate any actions that would operate on me. The Creator.
So he's always first.
He is always the first, creating this theater.
Is a good fate always the result of attracting?
Yeah, good fate is the result of the influence of the upper light, and even if that influence will be felt as something negative, it's a good fate.
If we only have the Creator and myself, why do I need this medium of the group?
How can you find the Creator then?
Well, there's me and the Creator.
But he doesn't exist. The Creator is what we discover inside the group, the quality of connection. We are a tool. We are the desire. How can we reveal the higher light? Imagine that around us there is light. I flew out on a rocket outside of the boundaries of Earth. I'm circling Earth, and there I see darkness. Who's hiding that darkness from me? Why am I seeing darkness instead of light? No one's hiding the light from me. It's because there's nothing that can reflect the light, so I'll see that the light is reflected. What we see is reflected light. We don't see the direct light coming to us, and therefore, just think about this phenomenon. It's a physical phenomenon of our world. Why is the cosmos black? Why is space black? There were the Concords. They used to Why did they fly so quickly? They rose to such an altitude where the air was very thin, very little resistance, and people saw a black sky, not blue, not white, not nothing, black. So we have to understand that everything in the world, we can feel it only to the extent of the rejection and not the reception. Therefore, I need a group so that together with the group, working with it, by rejecting it from myself and myself from it, and alongside with it to determine the higher light, it's revealed only on the mutual rejection and attraction between us. Well, sometimes I have better explanations.
All right, so now we're closing that topic of fate and governance. Now we're asking a question from you.
The question is very simple. Everyone's fate is predetermined, and along with it, each one of us has freedom of choice. How do you solve that contradiction?
Please write your answers in the chat, and we'll get the best ones. And we'll talk about how it went.
Our next topic, woman, the secret of nature. The mystery of nature. It's also a very popular question among women. And again, women, experienced women, are asking it. And for men, it's the most unpopular question, or at least one of the most unpopular questions for men.
Well, why is that surprising?
So I'll ask a men's question. Why are women always discontent with everything? It's impossible that everything will be okay. What can you do in order for a woman to calm down?
A woman in our world has very small, a few objects of fulfillment. This is her husband, her children, family, attention to herself. And that's the basis, let's say. Right? Yes? So, do they really have any fulfillment from that? From their husband? Well, that's a big question. Maybe, sometimes. From children, of course, that's a problem as well. Because you always have to worry about them, and this is her fulfillment. Then you have from the family in general. It's not just the family thing. You have thousands of different external influences as well. So woman in our world is really more dependent on this sensation of lacking, of worry, discontent. This is a result of Malchut, which was always in the sensation of a lack. Now, in reality, it seems there isn't anything simpler than fulfilling a woman. She just needs some attention from her husband, from her children, and the sensation of the correct connection with her mother and her other wife to fill her completely. You need so little, but it's so unattainable.
Why can't we give it to women?
Because this is the whole basis of nature, because egoism cannot be fulfilled in its initial primordial state, and a woman suffers from this. So all the questions and everybody that aspires towards Kabbalah are women, because they have that huge question of the meaning of life. Of course, not on the same high level as a man, but discontent from life is felt mostly by them.
And men come through them, actually.
That's right. So that's what I was saying. A man is, what is he? It's football. Maybe he'd go drink a beer with his friend somewhere to look at a woman. That's it. Life is all set. But how much fulfillment women need and how dependent they are on it. I can buy a bottle of beer, sit with friends, and enjoy. Have a cigarette with my buddies, and everything is great. I can stare at beautiful women, look at beautiful women, and enjoy. I can watch football. I can look at how many pleasures there are in life. Everything is built for a man, but for the poor woman, she's just dependent on everything, on everybody. So we need to understand this nature. To going towards her, I'm not sure that'll even help. The only thing that'll help a woman is, of course, you need as much as possible to ease her suffering in this world and understand their source. But in the end, a woman can only be calm in our unity between us. We as Kabbalists, when we reach a state in which she will feel radiating from us light. Only by that she'll be fulfilled.
She'll get light through the husband?
Through her husband, through the group, through different sources. You don't even have to get married for this.
Can birth be a correction for a woman? Giving birth?
Well, the thing is that the participation of a woman, even passively in this world, is part of her correction. Yes.
How does Kabbalah relate to marriage where the husband is much younger than the wife?
That doesn't matter at all in Kabbalah. Age is not taken into account at all.
Why is a baby born a boy or a girl? Lena from Moscow is asking.
This is the quality of the soul that needs its correction at any given moment, so you don't need to make any sort of calculation at this point. You don't have to get involved in it and
choosing
gender genetically. You still won't be able to trick the Creator. How many men or women he needs, and how all of this is solved coming from the common kli. In our world, it's not just men, boys, and girls, but new bodies with new qualities and so on.
If a woman's husband dies, can the Kabbalist explain it? Today, most of the women after 60 are widows.
That's not the problem. This is true, especially in Russia. But I would say that you just need to organize and attach the Kabbalistic groups. And then this group will take upon itself the whole role of the husband. And you won't feel any lack at all, but on the contrary, you'll be pulled forward, you'll participate in the group. And concern for the group will be your full correction.
You started talking about it, many questions. Can you please, Ala from Berezhna is asking. Ala Berezhna from Minnesota is asking, what is the role of a mother in the life of an adult person? Who and what has to give to whom? What does it say about these relations? Who owes who? The mother to the son, or who?
No, it said in the Torah that a child needs to leave his parents, to attach to his wife, to raise a family, and there are no other options here not to give children to enter their lives. Rav Ash always said the best behavior with children is open your pocket and close your mouth.
May they dig there.
That's the only thing you have to do, help as much as possible and leave them alone. And then don't mess with their freedom of will.
A mature child, how does he have to fulfill his mother?
Oh, about the parents. A person needs to worry about his parents until the end of his days. No, according to their abilities, he must do it. How could that? What do you mean? This is the fact that what your mother gave to you, you can never pay her back. My own mother is in a is in a nursing home, and my brother and I are paying huge sums to keep her comfortable there, and there's no doubt that this is our responsibility, and this is included in our correction.
Why does a man have to cleave on to the woman, not the woman to the man?
Because a woman is, in our world, the desire to receive, malchut, which receives from the first 9 sefirot, which is the male part, with respect to her.
This is why he has to cleave on to her.
She needs to attach to him, right?
Yeah, right, sorry. What is the nature of feminism? Why did the Creator allow this to happen?
I think that feminism is an egoistic skew in our society, in the women's role, in a lack of seeing how to realize oneself, herself completely, correctly. It becomes sort of a... I don't think this... all the phenomena that are not strictly natural and traditional, you need to understand them and see them as diversion that we need to account ourselves with, but they can, on their own, be freely realized. So people that are in these states are in them, but they don't have the right to pull toward themselves new people, to propagate this life view and for their gender. In my group, we have feminists and homosexuals and lesbians and so on, but nobody is asked what they are. However, it's clear, more or less, but nobody, it doesn't matter. It's the own personal a choice of a person, but there's no propagation, there's no propaganda here.
In the past, this was social movement for women.
No, that's a different thing. But now feminism is a negative view of the female gender with respect to the male. And in addition, men are being forced to react to this somehow and to pay attention to this. Commonly, I'm on different external congresses and conferences. And there is chosen, perhaps, a
president.
President from 20 people. And suddenly, we notice that there are 18 men and 2 women. And we say, wait a second, it should be even. And then we start to re-elect people. And we start electing women who, in this case, shouldn't even be there. But only to keep the genders equal. This is awful. But don't worry, it'll be over soon.
About the previous question. In the Torah, it says that a person leaves his home and cleaves on to his wife.
Yes, this means from his mother, he passes on to the next nukva, the next female desire, and with the help of that, he'll continue to correct himself.
So why wasn't it that the wife cleaves on to her husband?
Because the man attaches to his mother as from his mother as a desire, and then it means, so listen to your wife and act correctly.
What does it mean that a young girl turns into a woman on a spiritual level?
This is not simple. You need to talk about lots of things here. A girl turning into a woman is difficult to explain. Lack of childhood. You have the qualities of Nei, Chabad, Chabad in the person, and on the women's level. This is very difficult to explain. We don't have this, but this isn't the appearance of a girl into the changing of a girl into a woman. This is the internal So when a woman, girl, first the baby becomes a girl and then a girl becomes a woman.
The aspiration to give birth, probably.
Right, so this is the becoming or being in the state around yourself to gather a husband and children, responsibility. This family nest.
But she's asking on the spiritual level, is it possible to give birth to the next spiritual degree? How does it work?
On a spiritual level, it's a very serious growth. It's only possible when the women's part takes on the men's part and turns that into men's. Like we see with Zerampin and Malchut, when Zerampin takes its last four Sfirot and turns it into its own 10. The right correlation between men and women is essential. But again, everything happens only under the influence of the upper light and not by ourselves. So we don't need to force this or say that you think you know it, but use Kabbalah and be happy.
About the topic of woman, the mystery of nature.
What is left in a woman's role except the attraction of the upper light to fulfill her correction?
Please write your answers. We'll put it on the chat in a moment. And our next topic is the root of money. It's one of the most popular topics among women, and one of the most unpopular topics among men. Young men don't ask it at all. This is a very unpopular theme. They simply don't know. They don't earn the money. They don't make the money. They can't make a living, so they don't ask about it at all.
Money, in general, it's useful in Hebrew to know a few words, is because it explains the essence of the word. Money in Hebrew is kesef. Kesef comes from the word kisuf, a covering, masach, a screen. The ability to cover, the ability to make a screen, the ability to reflect the upper light, and by that, in that way, in that reflection, to receive it. Therefore, in the spiritual sense, the word money, what force you have to reflect is the force you reflect to your egoism and to receive the revelation of the Creator. This is the spiritual meaning of money. And the richer a person, the more screen they have, the more anti-egoistic screen, then the more they can reveal the upper light, the upper world, and the greater they are, the more attaining they are. And for that reason, it's called wealthy, because wealth is the ability, is the amount of bestowal. So if I can receive through myself the upper light and to convey it through money, through screen to others, then I am wealthy. Do you know why? Because by conveying through myself the upper light, I receive twice as much. I need to receive it for myself, to create from within myself an action when I give it to others. So I get twice as much. The arithmetic works out pretty well, right? It's good business. So engage in Kabbalah and become rich.
Question from businessman. Money is pre-planned for every person. Is money something that's pre-planned from above for every person in the world? Is it pre-planned to be poor or rich?
Yes. Money is planned in advance to each person. There are people that suffer from its lack all the time. And there are people that love money and suffer from its lack. And there are people that don't suffer because they always have enough. There are people that suffer because they never have enough. So all these four qualities of relation to money relate to the four stages of development of the ego, but in reality, all of this needs to be turned into altruistic development. And you shouldn't pay too much attention to your fate, but you can change it specifically by your attitude toward wealth. Wealth is the propagation of the light of Chokhmah inside of the Lev Chassidim in a person.
You remember how we were driving in this car with a billionaire and a convertible, and he was, you know, he felt empty. Despite all the money, he felt empty.
Yeah, there's nothing to say. I've met billionaires, truly many people who have their own planes and ships, banks, companies. To tell them that they're wealthy or to call them wealthy is not something I would say. They have no sensation of actual light. If there is such a thing, then it becomes, it's a sad state, and in this way the wealth destroys a person because it forces him all the time to worry about himself, about himself. I have many students like this, which are engaged in their millions or even billions, and they are sad people, although they understand a little bit what Kabbalah is talking about, but they're not capable of tearing themselves away from their wealth. And I had this moment in my life when I was grateful to the Creator, because only thanks to Him I was able to do this. I decided that I had to tear away from everything. I had my own business, and I closed it immediately without thinking. And I moved away to my teacher.
And before that, you searched for a long time.
That's right. I was looking for a long time to break away here. As soon as I discovered this, and then I no longer had any questions, I tore away, and that was it. It's a problem for my students, because I can't tell my students that because it's their choice, but it's very sad that they are in this intermediate state. They need to worry about their billions on one hand. On the other hand, they'd like to engage in Kabbalah, but it's like they can't. So they're kind of lost between these two worlds.
Dramatic stage. In the U.S., suppose, up to 60,000 per year income, there's a correlation between happiness and content. Beyond that, you know, no matter how much you make, it has nothing to do with increasing your content and joy in life.
Yes, it's an opportunity for fulfillment. And then you need to throw out these millions into a casino or something just to feel a little bit of spiciness, a little bit of taste. And you don't feel it in small things. These are people that don't feel taste in food, in football, in vacation. I met a lot of people who live their whole lives on their money, that just earning money from interest, and from day to evening, day to night, they're completely free. These are tragic people. They say, okay, so let's go here, let's go there, let's travel here or there. In space, they can't feel. It's not felt by them. There's no pleasure without the sensation of a lack. Because everything is attained in the light versus the darkness. If you have no darkness, then they do any attempts to drive themselves into a sensation. They have flights into the distance, but that doesn't help.
To specify, there's a moment when we're talking about basic needs. There's things that make you happy or don't, but beyond that,
we have a common friend who just flies back and forth. He thinks that beyond the corner he'll find some joy.
And the young people, they're trying, they're dedicating their life to break beyond the 60,000 per year. They don't understand that there's no joy and happiness there. So can we help them somehow?
This is an illusion. You can't do anything about it.
You can't fight it?
I also thought that I'd be flying around from country to country, continents, anything. I remember, actually, that I was attracted by this. In childhood, we wanted to see the world so much, it was close to us. But we didn't see anything except emptiness. Yes, of course. This disappears. It's hard for me to say, I think. I'm not sure if the people will understand me correctly, but once I had a period when I would travel all the museums of the world, all the exhibitions. One moment, this passed. This was just gone. So there's a threshold beyond which you stop feeling new things because you won't see anything new. Your ego begins to be developed in a different direction of sensation. So for that reason, those people, if they don't attain these upper steps by the light that enters the desire and draws completely new attainments, a new world, those people are tragic.
It's like we were walking around Vienna, and he started telling us this house was built in 1860. But who cares? See what interests people. When will the time come that people will start using a different equivalent instead of money?
Of course, the screen.
Humanity.
The screen will use only the screen in the size of the screen, and that'll be its money. That'll be the new money. How much money do you have? How much screen do you have?
Blitz. First question. Question about the topic of money. Can you ask a question, please? Can you ask our students a question?
How to aspire to the screen just like you would aspire toward money?
Thank you. Please write down your answers. And 14th, 16th of, and on the 16th of June, there will be introductory lectures in Kazakhstan. So you can find further info on our site. And the question is?
I'm not sure who, for all of Nostradamus, all sorts of predictors, Nostradamus, Dracula also is flying around there. I'm not sure. I'm not really connected with these friends. I'm not sure what to say.
On the animalistic level?
Yes, prediction is possible on the animal level. There are people that sense the future, that can say very clearly that you'll have tomorrow, such and such, but usually they don't talk about it because it exists already.
It's only with respect to us, concealed or revealed. Does the body correspond to the soul, or the soul corresponds to the body?
The soul determines everything, like the internal determines the external, the whole fate of a person.
Why do women feel more dependent on their men before divorce and men after the divorce?
I'm not sure. I wasn't divorced. And I don't want to get divorced. It's better to have a bad marriage than a good divorce. If a man feels himself free before divorce, because he wants to be free, feels his wife has a prison guard that watches him and limits him all the time. But after divorce, then these bars are missing for him. It's like in every phenomenon you have its pluses and minuses. You need to understand men's nature that's always trying to aspire like a small child to escape somewhere. But on the other hand, we know that he wants to return all the time to his wife and to treat her like his mother, because we're all basically small animals.
How can we know if a prophecy is true or false?
I don't engage in prophecy or predictions. Kabbalah is against this. We need to determine our own fate.
What kind of mechanism is it that the Kabbalists could make it so that suddenly in their pocket appeared a higher golden coin?
Oh, this is the highest level. Yes, you drop this bomb. Oh, it could be nothing. Maybe here we'll have some... paper.
So you're saying that maybe we'll put some paper and it will turn into real money. Okay. About women, what is a good connection between men and women?
A good connection between men and women will necessarily fulfill the woman. Necessarily. There is nothing more stable, more solid than relating to a woman with attention, and she will see and she won't want to be together with you, just like a man. If a man relates, if a woman also relates to a person and takes care of him, then he will feel that she's a substitute for his mother and he won't be able to be without her.
And can you give us a task for the week?
All right, let's connect to the group as well as possible and it'll solve all of our problems. The best of luck to all of us and a good holiday to you, the holiday of receiving the method of unity.
Short announcement, if you want to answer the question on the chat, please write us. There is a button, Michael Lightman, give us your answers. All the best.